السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته مفتي صاحب.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته مولانا. السلام عليكم to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you keeping مفتي صاحب؟
الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Very well and yourself مولانا.
الحمد لله. مفتي صاحب, last week we started our discussion on Muharram. We were unable to dwell into the subject in much detail. Inshallah we'll be doing so this morning.
Yes, inshallah, inshallah, Mawlana. We will touch on various aspects relating to Muharram, inshallah.
The lines are open, 011-854-1548, and the SMS line is 48855, and you can ask your queries, inshallah, we'll pose it to Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, you may commence.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the virtues of the month of Muharram, the entire month of Muharram is a very special month. It is an auspicious month. It is from one of the four auspicious months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Holy Quran, Minha Arba'atul Hurum. There are four months that are auspicious, and one of these four months is Muharram. In fact, it is the first month in the Islamic calendar, and together with Zulqa'dah and Zulhijjah, the two months that have gone past, Muharram is one of the four, and the other one is Rajab. So this is how we have the four auspicious months. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi in the tafsir mentions that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are sacred months, it means the reward of deeds are multiplied more in these months than in other months of the year, because these are sacred months. Nevertheless, regarding the month of Muharram, it is a month of ibadah, it is a month of repentance, it is a month of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the entire month is a holy and auspicious month. There is a narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the fast of Arafah, that is the day that has already gone past now, the day of Arafah, almost a month ago. He said regarding the day of Arafah that 2 years of the sins of that person will be forgiven who fasts on the day of Arafah. Then he mentioned regarding Muharram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned in next part of this hadith that the one who fasts during the month of Muharram, for each day that he will fast, he will receive the reward of fasting for an entire month. كل يوم يعدل ثلاثين يوما. That every day's fast is equal to 30 days. So, for one day's fast, it is the reward of 1 month of fasting. This is a great significance of the fast of the month of Muharram. Mm. And therefore, we find that, alhamdulillah, many people fast in the month of Muharram, just as they fast in other months. They fast especially in the month of Muharram. But we should remember that the reward of these fast of Muharram are not restricted only to the first 10 days. Mm-hmm. It is beyond that. The whole month, any day in the month is rewarding and carries this reward of 1 month of fasting for 1 day. For every day of fasting is equal to reward of 1 month of fasting. So this goes to show how great this month is, that there is no other month that has been blessed with this virtue, that for every fast, you get the fast of 1 month in reward. Now, actually, this fast of Muharram is something that existed before the fasting of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. It is said, also narration comes that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best of fasts after the month of Ramadan, okay, this is another virtue of this fast of Muharram, the best of fasts after the month of Ramadan is fasting in Muharram. This is another narration that goes to show the virtue of fasting in Muharram, the one we mentioned early on, and now this virtue which states that to fast in Muharram after the Ramadan, it is the best of fast. So So this goes to show again how important it is to fast in Muharram. And this refers to the entire month, not specifically only to a certain period of time. Like I'm mentioning this because, Maulana, I've heard people saying that, you know, I will never miss my fasting of the first 10 days of Muharram. So the fasting is not restricted only to the first 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the entire month, any day in the month of Muharram. Right. And in the same narration, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said, the best of Salah after the first five first Salah is the Tahajjud Salah. So this says the best of fast of Ramadan, because those are first fast, but from the Nafil fast, the best of all the fast, Nafil fast are the fast of Muharram, and the first Salah are compulsory, but the best of Salahs after the first Salah is the Tahajjud Salah. So from this again we can see that this is a special month, the whole month of Muharram, not just a particular day or particular days of Muharram. It is very important to make that distinction and to understand that the whole month itself has got virtue in fasting. Then of course comes an important day in the month of Muharram, and that is the 10th day of Muharram. And we know that in Arabic the word Ashara means 10. So because it's the 10th day, it is known as Ashura. So this day, the 10th day of Muharram, known as the day of Ashura, this was actually the first fast that was made compulsory in Islam, was the fast of Ashura. The Quraysh used to fast in Ashura. According to a narration of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Quraysh used to fast on the day of Ashura, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also observed the fast of Ashura. So the first fast, even before the fasting of Ramadan, was the fast of Ashura. Even the Quraysh fasted, even they understood that this is an important day in the Islamic, in the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, then he continued with the noble practice of fasting on Ashura. And he instructed Sahaba to fast on the day of Ashura. So it was regarded as a first compulsory fast. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the obligation of fasting for the month of Ramadan. And thereafter, the fasting of Ashura was no more regarded as first or obligatory, but it was regarded now as optional. So before Ramadan, the fast of Ashura was actually farz, compulsory. And that is why is another narration of Sayyidah Rubai radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she says that the Sahaba used to observe the fast of Ashura, and they encouraged the children even to fast the day of Ashura. And when the children would start crying and feeling hungry, then they would make little toys for them out of wool and keep them occupied with those till the time of iftar, so that even the children should not miss the virtue and the benefit of this fast of the day of Ashura. So therefore, it was in fact a practice before the advent of Islam. And in the early days of Islam, when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was still in Makkah Mukarramah, and then when he made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, the practice continued right till the very end of the life of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to fast this day of Ashura. First it was compulsory, but after the Ramadan became, the fast of Ramadan became compulsory, which was in the second year of hijrah, thereafter the fast of Ashura was sunnah, or we will say a voluntary fast. It was no more an obligatory fast. The amazing thing is when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, then he witnessed the Jews observing this fast of Ashura. So he inquired the reason why they were fasting, and It was told to him that this was the day that Allah Rabbul Izzat saved and protected the Bani Israel, you know, delivered them from the oppression and the tyranny of Fir'aun by saving them and drowning Fir'aun and his army. So this is something Bani Israel always remembered and kept the memory of this day alive, and in expression of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor, Musa alayhi salam used to fast on this day, and the Jews, in emulation of Musa alayhi salam, fasted on this day. The Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam remarked that we are more worthy of following Musa than you people, because we are on the original teachings of Musa alayhi salam. They had deviated from the teachings of Musa alayhi salam. Therefore, we are more deserving to follow and to practice a good practice of one of the past Anbiya alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam continued fasting on this day and ordered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also to fast as well on this day. Right to the end of his life he fasted. As was mentioned that early on it was compulsory, but later on it became voluntary. However, we notice one thing, that towards the end of the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that they should observe the fast of Ashura, but oppose the Jews. And this would be by fasting a day before or after Ashura. That is, they should fast either on the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th of Muharram. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed that if he lived till the following year, he would fast for the 2 days. It just happened that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not live for the next year, but his teaching was there for his ummah. And therefore, the ummah is required to follow this teaching and practice of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated categorically that if I live until the following year, I will definitely fast on the 10th, or on the 9th, together with the 10th. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an option for those who don't want to fast on the 9th, that they could fast on the 10th and 11th. But from this narration of Sahih Muslim, it appears that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have given preference to fast on the 9th and the 10th. Though it is permissible to fast on the 10th and the 11th, both are permissible. Okay. The reason why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted his ummah not to fast just alone on the day of Ashura was to teach us the lesson of not emulating and following the ways of others. By fasting only on the day of Ashura, it was a resemblance to the Jews. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like resemblance of other religions for his ummah. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." The one who follows and imitates the ways of others, he will be from among them. So even in a good and noble act like fasting, we have been prohibited from following their ways. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized this very much. And he said, Khaliful Yahud, go against what they practice. Do not follow their practice. So we should really ponder and reflect on this principle that we gain out of this practice of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the principle is, in all facets of life, we should be independent and we should have our independent identity and practices. And we should not be those who imitate and follow and emulate and ape and resemble others. This goes against the spirit of the teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it comes under the strict warning of man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, he who imitates a people, he will be with them, that is, he will be raised with them, and he will be classed with them on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Ta'ala save us.
Amen.
So, from this we have understood, relating to, you know, all aspects of life, whether it is our practices, our customs, our dressing, our whatever other aspects of life, we should not be resembling the ways of others. Now, having explained the virtues of the fasting of the month of Muharram, then the day of Ashura, then reminding our honorable listeners that they should not only fast on the 10th alone, because that will be resembling the ways of the Jews, but to fast 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th. So this covers the aspect of the virtue of fasting in the month of Muharram and fasting on the day of Ashura. And of course, the reward of that fast of Ashura, as has been narrated, that it yukaffiru sanata allati qablahu, it is a means of forgiveness of the sins of the whole year that passed, the entire that year that went past. Allah Rabbul Izzat grants forgiveness of the sins of that past year. That is the virtue of fasting on the day of Ashura. Just that one day's fast carries that reward, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hopefully forgive the entire sins of the past year of that person.
Mm.
Besides the fast of 30 days, that fast is secured, that reward is secured. But additionally, this reward is also gained for fasting the day of Ashura. So that's one aspect of the day of Ashura, the importance of fasting on the day of Ashura. Another important practice relating to the day of Ashura is to spend generously on one's family on the day of Ashura, so that the barakah and blessings of this day is acquired. And that barakah will extend into the entire year. There is a narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever spends freely on his family, and wasa'a ala ayalihi, the one who spends freely on his family on this day of Ashura, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spend freely on him for the duration of the entire year. So in this is an indication of blessing and barakah for spending freely on one's family on the day of Ashura. So really speaking, there are two practices relating to Ashura. One is relating to Roza, that is the fast, and one is Rozi, the sustenance, spending freely on one's family on this day. There are some people who believe that, spending on the family is not correct. There's no basis, because the narration relating to that is not a very strong narration. So this position is actually not true. In fact, there is virtue on spending on the family, and this virtue that Allah Rabbul Izzat will give barakah for the whole year, this is established not only from this narration, but there are a number of narrations. There is a narration of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is this narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is a narration of Abu Sa'id. There is a narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And regarding all this, Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that if you take all these chain of narrations and they put together, then they become strong collectively.
Hmm.
So it is the collective strength of all of these narrations actually that the jurists of Islam look at, and they say that on this basis one should not disregard the virtue, and one should consider this as a great virtue to hold on to and to benefit from. Because one of the great scholars mentioned that I have tried this practice. I've tried it out and I found it to be accurate. Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahmatullah alayhi, great muhaddis, mentioned that I've been doing this for 50 to 60 years and every year I've seen the benefit of it. So from this we see that yes, individually maybe those narrations are not strong, but it is the collective strength of those narrations when they are put together that they assume that strength of credibility. And these are fazailul amal, the virtues of deeds. So when it comes to the virtue of deeds, then even weak narrations are accepted as far as fazail is concerned. So we should not miss this opportunity by spending freely and generously on one's family on the day of Ashura to gain that barakah so that it will remain with us inshallah for the rest of the year. And inshallah we will not experience hard times and difficulties and so on because of, you know, the economic downturn and inflation and unemployment and you know, all of these things. Allah Ta'ala will safeguard and protect us against these things, and the barakah will remain in our sustenance for the whole year just because of spending freely on one's family on the day of Ashura. Now, just one last point, Maulana.
Ji, and there's a message also, Mufti Sahib, if we can.
Okay, inshallah. I want to clarify something before. Ji. But maybe if you take the message, then we'll clarify.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, say assalamu alaikum. Nowadays, people go out and buy gifts for everyone in Ashura. Is it imitating the West, where like Christmas gifts are bought?
Yeah, this is a very good question. In fact, that is what I wanted to clarify, Maulana. You see, we should not go beyond the limits of the Sharia. What limits Sharia has said, we should just stick by those limits. You mustn't start doing things from our own side and introducing customs and practices that have no basis in Islam, because that is the foundation or the beginning of bid'ah, and that is the beginning of innovation in Islam. So as far as this practice of spending generously on one's family is concerned, that's what it means to just spend on your own ala ayalihi. Mawassa ala ayalihi. Ayal means the people who live in one household, one home. Those are your ayal. To spend on them generously, the ulama have explained this here, that it refers to buying a little extra things, particularly with relating to food, etc., on this day. That's what it refers to. It does not refer to, you know, what people these days are doing. They're actually commercializing this day of Ashura, wal-iyadu billah. And people are making parties out of the day of Ashura, astaghfirullah. We are now hearing people talk of Ashura supper.
Allah.
You are invited to an Ashura supper. Where did they come with this from? Where's the foundation of Ashura supper in Islam? There's no, it's to just spend on that, on your family generously on that day to buy some extra groceries or a few things like that, maybe what you require for the house, for your own family. There's no Ashura gifts. You talk of Ashura gifts. There's no thing like Ashura gifts. We're not supposed to make a, you know, this is not a merry-making occasion. Mm-hmm. And sadly, Maulana, the people who are going to the Ashura supper didn't even fast on that day. there's no basis for all these big dawahs people are throwing on this day. And they're making an event out of it. And we're finding that people are now exchanging gifts. You know, like it's an occasion to celebrate something. This is not the spirit of the ahadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam relating to this. Just to give your own kit and kin, you know, some, buy them some extra things or give them something which they don't have, which you decided you will buy it on the day of Ashura, so this barakah. But to call this an Ashura gift, this is is all completely wrong. And now what happens when we start calling it Ashura gift, eventually people begin to regard this as something that is compulsory, and if you didn't give, it's like a Christmas gift.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like as if now we don't have Christmas, so now we're covering up by having an Ashura gift. Wastaghfirullah. That, you know, if I didn't buy you a gift and you didn't buy me a gift, then people even get offended. See, I went and bought a gift for her, for Ashura. She couldn't even give me anything. Where's my Ashura gift? That this is what it's leading up to, Maulana. And I want to caution our people, please do not go overboard. Just stay within the limits of the narration of the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometimes in our enthusiasm, and this is how bid'ah starts, people are enthusiastic to do some good deed, but they don't stay within the limits. And they go beyond the limits. And when we find that it's going to that extent, then I will say that at certain times we should not even practice this. Just to show that it's just a mustahab action, it's not some compulsory thing to rectify the wrongs. And to prevent and protect our deen, preserve our deen from innovations and unfounded things creeping into our deen, we have to be very careful about that.
Hmm.
So yes, spending on the family may be a mustahab action, but if it's going to assume this proportion, then it will be necessary to discard it and leave it out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard in this weekend our Ustaz Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sayyid Mutara, Damat Barakatuh, he also mentioned that the Islahi program that was held in Azadul Jamia Masjid this weekend, Mufsad mentioned that, you know what, people are going beyond the limits now. And it should be rectified and corrected. This is not the way we go about, you know, spending on the family on the day of Ashura, that we go beyond the limits. And then, Maulana, in conclusion, I want to just add this one sentence, that there's no other significance attached to Ashura. There's no other practices established in Deenul Islam relating to Ashura, other than this fasting and spending on the family. Any other thing that is done in the name of Ashura is all khurafat, it is all innovation, it is all baseless practices that have got no foundation in Islam.
Mm.
People talk about putting surma on Ashura, and then all these funny practices that are being practiced by some people or some cults and some sects, there is no basis for that in Islam. Ashura is a simple day of ibadah. It is a simple practice of fast and spending on the family, and that is where the virtue of Ashura ends. All the other things that people have been adding on before the day of Ashura itself, for the first 10 days of Muharram, there are some people who do some practices and the gatherings that are held and all of these things. None of these have got basis at all. Wearing certain color of clothing and all of these things have got no basis in Islam at all. These are innovations that have been imported from deviated groupings. There's no basis and foundation for any of these practices in Deenul Islam.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. It has been a very insightful session. Jazakumullah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.